Lord, as the word is released today, let there be faith. Let there be faith placed in the hearts and minds of people. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us great vision, Lord, in this hour, spiritual eyes to see, vision, spiritual vision. And Father, you know, Lord, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Father, I pray, open our ears, Lord, to the hearing of the word. And Father, I pray, give us a heart to receive everything that you have for us in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated and praise God. And don't forget summer nights at 6 o'clock. Minister Marr has the sign-up sheet back there. I don't know if we're full. Bring something. We're going to have a great time tonight kicking off summer nights here at King's. So, you know, this text is, you know, it was interesting. We received a message from Pastor Josh, one of our main leaders at King's. Doctor's our global senior pastor, and Pastor Josh is overseer, or I'm not sure the correct title, senior pastor over King's. And we received a message from him a few weeks ago, I don't even know, maybe 3 weeks ago, around this message. And I see why I preached at the first service, and I'm excited about preaching and sharing this word with you second service. But he felt it was as if it was a word released for King's and King's pastors to preach. And many times it's not like, you know, we preach the same or it's going to come out the same way. And God showed me several things over the last 3 weeks as I prepared this message. And I'm excited to share it with you this morning. Praise God. So I believe this is a message that will be preached throughout our many extensions. Amen. 650, 89. I don't even know how many we have. We'll find out here very soon. So praise God. But in this text, you know, the one thing that I want you to recognize that to love like Jesus, we have to have a heart change. You know, it's like we have to have a heart change to really truly love like Him. You know, I in my own self, I can't love like Jesus, but it's Jesus in me. It's the Jesus that flows through me. Me and my own self, I'm not good enough. Would never be good enough. But I want to tell you today is we as believers, you know, sometimes we need to have open heart surgery. We need to examine and look at the things that are taking place in our life, and we need to look and see where our heart is rooted. Is our heart rooted in bitterness? Is it rooted in love? And I love this passage because it's. It really just, it excites me because I believe one of the things that you begin to see here, you know, John didn't always love like Jesus. And that would be the same of us. God has helped many of us move from one level to another level. Amen. Aren't you thankful you're saved? That's why I said earlier, aren't you thankful that you're saved, that God's grace and His mercy and His love has came into your life and covered you? Because, man, I know I am, you know, especially in today's climate. I just want to walk around throat punching people all the time, you know, because of all the stupid things you see happening around the world and the things people say. And, you know, I know I would be living a different life if even still alive if I hadn't given my heart to the Lord. You know, it's fascinating because in Luke, you'll find a few passages of Scripture in Luke 9:49. You don't have to go there. But just even to look at John's life, John in 9:49, you know, John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group." But Jesus said, "Don't stop him. Anyone who is not against you is for you." So here's John, the beloved, right? John wrote that about himself. We understand that. But here's John, the beloved. You know, he's making the comment, you know, "Jesus, you know, don't we need to stop them?" And Jesus is saying, "No, leave them alone." And if you drop down a little bit further, I think John had some... He had a little bit of cockiness. Maybe he was overconfident in himself. Amen. You see it again in Luke 9:49. John said to Jesus, Luke 9:52, he sent a messenger ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. They didn't welcome him. You know, John and them were traveling with him. It's Jesus. Jesus is showing up on scene. But the people didn't want to see Jesus. So, you know, John went on. He said, you know, Master, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven? Should we just kill him just like Elijah did? Should we call fire down from heaven? And here's the beloved John. You know, he's calling fire down from heaven. I don't know if that's anybody in here. Have you ever felt like, you know, just calling the wrath of God down on someone because they won't listen or they won't hear or they won't, you know, my way's the right way, your way's the wrong way, and you're all going to burn in hell. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. You just feel like calling fire down from heaven, you know, to take care of that problem. Well, Jesus, what he did was he rebuked John. He rebuked John and said, John, you know, you need to calm down, John. Can I tell you even today that we as Christians, sometimes we need to calm down and let God be God. We need to allow God and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move in someone's life. You know, as I shared first service, you know, as a father, you know, it's one of the things, even as a father, you know, I'm still learning, to be honest with you. As a father, I'm raising now kids that are, you know, they're adults. And I have to be reminded, you know, in my own self and even having a wife that reminds me, you know, your kids are older now. You don't just need to tell them what to do, but you need to learn how to ask some questions. I thought, well, there's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a lot of wisdom in that. So, you know, we're always growing in the things of God. I want you to catch that today because, you know, listen, we're always in a place as children of God that we're growing. Listen, when you quit growing or you would confess that you've got it all figured out, you might as well just go to heaven. You might as well just check out. You might as well, because that's not the Christian life. The Christian life, you know, it's from glory to glory. It's from faith to faith in which we keep walking this thing out. And the context of this scripture is so powerful because, you know, he's saying, listen, you know, there are certain things that you have to do as a believer. You've got to love God. You've got to love Him with all your heart, but you've also got to love people. You know, there are people, there are Christians that, you know, you got to be careful even as you say this because, you know, when you begin to look at a scripture like this and you'll hear people say, I love Jesus, but I hate people. That's not what we're called to do as believers. That's not what we're called. That's not how we're called to act as Christians. Well, I love Jesus, but I just don't want to be around anybody. Then you're missing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're missing the message in which we're all called to. We're called to share, you know, our testimonies. We're called to share God's glory, God's love. You know, where would I be if somebody didn't share that with me? You know, where would you be if somebody hadn't shared God's love with you? Where would you be if somebody hadn't stepped in to disciple you and help you along the way, correct you? Amen. You know, honestly, it was the correcting of the word that, you know, many times I would hear the word preached and I'm like, is any, my chest is just, I feel like I'm coming out of myself again already this morning. Yeah, I would hear the word preached and I would be looking around in a church of 200 people thinking, is anybody not getting this? You know, but it was the Holy Spirit touching me, touching something that I needed to work on, something that I needed to fix. He was pressing. You know, it was like, no, get this right in your life. Do this. Do, walk in forgiveness. Walk in healing. Walk in this. Walk in that. You can do this. You can do this. You know, I didn't say this first service, but see, I believe that John learned how to love like Jesus because he had experienced Jesus. He honestly had moved to a place where he not only was walking with him in a part of the 12, he began to experience Jesus. See, John had to experience Jesus to be able to express the love like Jesus. Listen, we can't experience real love if we don't experience Jesus. I believe that, and I believe the context of this scripture is so rich that if we'll catch this, if you look at the Old Testament and you think about the Ten Commandments, you know, five were about people and five were about God. Five were about loving people and five were about loving God. And you'll see throughout the text, even in the New Testament. Let me jump there real quick. You have your Bibles, you can actually flip here because in the New Testament, you'll see that in Matthew verses 22, 37 through 40, Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and read that. If you need to contact, you need the scriptures, I'll give you back these scriptures later. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And this is the second is like this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So in the Old Testament, you see five were about loving people and five were about loving God. But on these two things, in the New Testament, we can look and see what the Word says. That, you know, look, you can hang these things on the law and what the prophets say. You love God and you love people. So nothing's changed. What was is still in existence. We love God. Listen, we don't want to be people that say we love God, but we miss it with people. Or we hold a grudge, or we're angry, or we're bitter, or we've got something bottled up inside. Because all of us could sit here, well, if you only knew what happened to me, if you only knew what happened to me, you would understand. I understand what the scriptures say. I understand that the scripture carries the power. You know, God has the power to forgive you, right? You with me this morning? He has the power to forgive you of all your wrongdoings. That's pretty huge. For me in my life, it's really huge that he had wiped my slate clean. He's forgiven me of all my sins. Praise God. That's not hanging over me. That's not something that he's looking at every day and saying, "You wretched sinner." He's not doing that. Forgiven. Stamp. I'm forgiven. But please understand something. As he's forgiven me, as he loves me, he's commanded me a new command I give you. Did you catch that? It's a new command. It's the same, but it's a new command I give you. That you love the Lord God with all your heart, but you also love your brother. You also love your sister. You love people, amen. We, you know, and I say it often in this house. You love what God loves. You love people, and the risk and danger of no relationship with Christ and no relationship with people, I mean, will take you out very quickly. We're going to examine this. You know, and you're not called to be a better version of yourself. You know, we can go through life just all the time looking at ourselves. I feel, I need, I want, I desire, I. We can just look at, you know, our own lives and it's carnal. It's so carnal that we get into this mindset where we think about, well, this is what I want, this is what I desire, this is what I need. You know, I think John, the revelation that John got here was that I'm not going to call fire down from heaven and kill everybody. Some of you are like, yeah, I've been there before. I just call fire down. I'm not, you know, John wasn't just moving into that place anymore, but he was seeing the very nature of Jesus Christ. He was seeing the nature of his love. Corinthians, you know, 1 Corinthians 11:1, you know, Paul writes, it says, Jesus Christ, Jesus, imitate me just as I saw, I also imitate Christ. Here was the Apostle Paul making what I really believe such a unique statement, you know, for the church, the Corinth church, because everybody said, well, I'll follow God, but I'm not going to follow you. God brings you before men. He brings you before people to follow. You know, I shared it, you know, I remember a guy one time, you're never going to be Dr. Morocco. I'm not trying to be Dr. Morocco. I'm trying to be Brad Reiser. But I have a godly example before me that I imitate. We run services. You know, somebody gave us a compliment the other day and said, you know, we came to church here on a Wednesday night, and, you know, it looked like the same church service it was a great compliment that you guys were here the week before, and then you guys stepped out, you had went somewhere, and the church service ran the same. She's like, how do you guys do that? Well, we imitate. We develop. There's structure. There's things that we do. We pray for people. Like, you guys understand, like, we pray for one another. When you grab somebody's hand, what are we asking you to do? To pray. We imitate. When we lay hands on people that need healing, we're imitating Christ Jesus. We're believing and saying, no, this is what God said was possible. And so you imitate that in your life. Amen? That we would be an imitator of the things that Christ Jesus shows us. And I'm thankful that He gives us people. Amen. I'm thankful that He gives us people. So how do we love more like Jesus? It's a great question, isn't it? How do we look like Him? How do we love like Jesus? How do we put this on? How do we put the armor on? How do we look like Him? How do we love like Him? You know, there's one thing that I believe that really separates Jesus, and there are probably more references, but at least 10 in the New Testament where Jesus said He was compassion, or He had compassion. You know, when it was Matthew 14, verses 13 and 14. And this was a story where He had found out that John the Baptist had been beheaded. John the Baptist was a friend. He was a friend, but he had just found out that his friend had been beheaded. Now, you know, listen, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to grieve. You know, there are things in life that you do. And they're very healthy, and it's good to get with somebody, you know, and talk and process and work through things like that. It's necessary. But, you know, what's interesting even about this passage, it says, you know, as soon as Jesus heard the news, He left in a boat in a remote area to be alone. Jesus left to be, he wanted to be just alone. I don't know if you've ever lost anybody or have had to grieve I didn't, when I lost family members, I didn't feel like being around anybody. I didn't, you know, there was points I didn't feel like being around my wife. I just wanted to go be alone. So I understand that even as I read it. But the scripture goes on to say, it says, but the crowds heard where Jesus was going, and they followed on foot from many towns. The people were coming from the towns because they began to hear the news. They began to hear the message of the kingdom of God is at hand. And, you know, beyond what they began to hear was they began to see the miracles of Jesus. People were being touched. They were being healed. And did Jesus say, you know, I just need to grieve. I need to go be by myself. You know, what he did was he turned this whole thing around. He changed the narrative. Everything shifted right here. Because he began to say, you know, I'm not going to just sit here and internally think about what's going on in my life. I'm going to go be a blessing in someone else's life. And see, if you catch this today, see, that's where we're called to walk. We're not called to be stagnant. We're not called to just sit at home and chill out and you know, just chill. That's not what we're called to do. We're called, you know, listen, when hardships come or when things happen, you know, yeah, if there's a backing away, but you don't quit. You don't quit. See, Jesus changed the narrative right here in this story. It's so powerful because He wasn't focused on just how He felt. He wasn't focused on the issue or the problem. He was saying, I'm going to be about my Father's business. I'm going to do what the Lord's telling me to do. I tell you, you know, you're having a down day. The best thing you can do is get around people and tell people about Jesus. The best thing you can do is get in a church service. Get somewhere where you can get the Word of God preached into you. Amen. You guys, we need the Word preached into us. That's what builds faith. You know, my prayer today was that people are leaving here with faith. Faith to be better tomorrow than they were yesterday. That's what the gospel, that's the power of the gospel. That's what it has the power to do. It has the power to change a situation, a circumstance. It has the power to kick an obstacle, remove a mountain. You know, and as I said even 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, you've got to begin to speak to, you've got to begin to declare, you've got to begin to take those things down. How do you do that? You do it with your words. People think your words carry power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. People don't have life because they speak too much death. The world speaks death. You're always going to have this. You're always going to have that. No, you change the narrative. You change the narrative in your life by the things that come out of your mouth. But beyond that, it's the actions. Listen, I can sit here and say, mountain be removed, mountain be removed. But if I don't take the step to remove the mountain or go over the mountain or do something to make it happen, the mountain's still going to be a mountain. That's where faith comes in. That's where faith has to kick in for the believer. What's it look like? You can't see it. But some of you got to learn to... I have to learn how to attack the mountain quicker. Let me turn it around. Brad, your pastor. I need to learn how to attack the mountains quicker. I don't need to sit around and think about the mountains. I got to get up the mountain quicker. Amen. And see, that's what we've got to do with our life. We've got to quit looking at the obstacles. Quit looking at how tough things are, and say, no, I'm going over this thing. Mountain be removed. Pastor, I'm standing in faith. Keep standing in faith. Imitate, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ Jesus. Get around people that believe in faith. I mean, people want to argue over the most simplest things around faith and around Christianity. It's pointless. Pointless conversations. It doesn't edify the body. The body... The enemy understands that if he can just get churches bickering back and forth and men and women of God bickering back and forth, how dumb it can make the church look. Yeah, that's what's going on in the church. But we would imitate him. Amen? We would imitate him. So Jesus, what did he do? Jesus saw the huge crowd and he stepped from the boat. And he had compassion on them, and he healed the sick. So he turned it around. The narrative changed. You can turn the narrative around in your life. Can I tell you that, honestly, the thing with faith and with Christianity, a lot of it is determined by the steps that you're willing to take. There are things that I need greater faith for. Amen. There are things that I need to be around people that have greater faith for certain things. So what do? I position myself. I position myself to get around those things. I don't squelch back. I go. When you get hungry for something, you go after it. You go after it. I made up my mind many years ago. I don't want to look like everybody else. I don't want to talk like everybody else, and I certainly don't want to act like everybody else. I want to believe what the Word says, and I want to grab a hold of it for me and my family. Amen. And I want people to grab a hold of it for their benefit. The Bible's for your benefit. Laying hands on the sick, it's for your benefit. Tithe and offering, it's for your benefit. People, I have money. Church wants to talk about money. It's for your benefit. I mean, you preach on this for 3 or 4 years. It's for your benefit. Everything is for your benefit in the kingdom. Jesus said, the devil, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that I have come to give you life more abundantly. It doesn't say a sad life, a sappy life, a depressed life, an up and down life. It says that what's an abundant life look like? A good life. A good life. That he wants to bless you and he wants to see you advance. But you've got to make those decrees and declarations. I'm going to advance. I'm going higher. I'm not staying in the same place. Anybody with me today? In John 2:9, let me keep moving this. John 2:9, I'm just going to break this down to the little bit of this passage. John 2:9, it says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Listen, the one thing you have to, as a Christian and as a believer, you have to guard against darkness. You have to guard, you have to, you know, because like I said, the enemy, he roams like a roaring lion. He's squawk, 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 like a. He's not. He roams like a. That's what he's doing. He's just roaming. But, you know, sometimes you got to get fed up. You got to get tired. You got to punch the enemy in the mouth. You got to say, no enemy, not today. No enemy, not tomorrow. My tomorrow looks better. You know, your today looks better than it did this morning. You know, some of you like, well, I don't know if I should go to that church outreach tonight. No, you need to go. You need to get around people that laugh and have joy and have fun and sing and dance and play volleyball and whatever else we do. Praise Jesus. Cornhole. Whatever. You get around people. Because you know what cures depression? You know what cures anxiety? It's getting around people that have something that you don't. And that, you know, that's why, it's like I said, I'll never... For the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'll never leave the place of joy. Now, you know, joy is a choice. But we're too busy trying to worry about whether Christians are happy or not. I'm not talking about happiness. We got to make everybody happy. We got to keep them happy. You know, listen, when you got joy, it surpasses happiness. I have a happy attitude. I have a happy outlook on life. But for the joy of the Lord is my strength. My strength comes from the joy in knowing who God is in my life and in my family's life. You know, that's where my strength comes from, that joy. Amen. My strength comes from knowing that I'm forgiven. That my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. My joy comes from the calling and purpose in which God's called me to do what He's called me to do. Pastor, is that me too? Yes. Well, you know, I'm not called to pastor. Okay. But you're called to be a believer, right? You're called to be a Christian. So God shows us something in this scripture. It's so fascinating. Love God. Everybody say, love God. Love my neighbor. Everybody say, love my neighbor. There are two things that we can do that set us up. Now, there are many other things that you can do, but these two things, you can hang these things on. And that if you do these two things, man, you can be successful. You can kick depression. You can kick forgiveness. Some of you got to get mad at the enemy. Some of you got to get mad at the enemy, taking your stuff, stealing your stuff, your time, your energy. You know, sometimes, you know, this whole culture of just vegging out, people need to learn to do stuff. They need to learn to exercise. Their minds. They need to learn to do things. That, you know, just I'm going to veg out and watch TV. You got to learn to do stuff. You've got to begin to exercise faith. You're going to find God in your faith. That's where you're going to find Him. I'm not against TV. I like TV. I'm not against there's certain things that I like on TV. Man, I used to love sports. I'd spend a lot of time watching sports. Now it's just like they pay anybody that does, if they catch one pass during a football game, they're going to get a $4 million contract. Whatever. I mean, it just doesn't interest me that much anymore. Seeing a stadium full and somebody preaching, that interests me more now. You know, that interests me more now. Seeing people come to the kingdom of God. That, you know, I'm not against, have hobbies. You need hobbies. I was thinking about the other day. I like to fish. Brother Greg and I went fishing today. I enjoy fishing. I didn't catch a lot of fish. He caught the biggest one. He rooted me out of my hole. Where's he at? There he is. He rooted me out of my hole and caught the biggest fish of the day. But, you know, I'm not mad. I'm not offended. I'm not hurt by it. I said, praise God, you caught a big fish, Brother Greg. You know, I was, you know. But you know, can I be honest with you? Some people would get offended over that. I can't believe you. I was in that hole and he's come over. Christians act this way. They act that way over parking spots. They act that way over their seats. They can act that way. I went fishing with a brother. He drove all day. I could have just shut it off and not talked to him the rest of the day. Can't believe you got in my hole. That fish was mine. You know, knock it off. We got to knock this stuff off. We got to grow up. We got to grow up as Christians. We got to grow up as believers. We got to understand the elementary thing. The elementary thing of love. We got to understand it. Quit. If you're watching online, you quit being so petty. Nobody here is. Praise Jesus. I'll speak to the people that are online. Quit being petty. Quit being petty over little things. Nobody here is like that because they're in church today. Praise Jesus. I'm speaking to my online crowd. You got to guard, though. You got to guard against. You've got to guard against, you know, the things that cause a hatred. And you know how you guard against it? You begin to quit thinking so much about yourself. You quit. You get to a place where you begin to lose the I this, I that, I, my. You lose that, and you get focused on what God cares about, and that's people. You know, it's something even when I entered into ministry and I would hear people say it, and I think it's by the which way Miranda and I were called. I would hear people say, you know, my ministry or you know, I this my ministry and I this ministry, I my. I just, for whatever reason, it just kind of, it touched me the wrong way. Because I realized something about God, and I realized something about the calling. Because I had to choose to walk in the calling. I had to do that. But it's not what I can do, it's what He can do through me. And see, it's what He can do through you. It's what He can do through you. The moment that Miranda and I sit here and would ever say, this is what we've done, or... You know, smack. Put me down. I mean, because listen, these things are covered by the love of Jesus. Amen. It's not what we can do. It's what He can do through me. And catch this, but it's what He can do through you. It's what He can do through you. You know, I shared this earlier. You know, Brother John led 6 people to Jesus Christ this week. I rejoice in that. I rejoice. I rejoice that, you know, that 6 people got saved this week. And, you know, but the thing about it is, you know, I could tell whatever day he called or whatever day we talked. I don't even know. I think it was Tuesday. The fire of God was all over him. I was getting ready for men's, and he was like, Pastor, I'm going to go pray and he said, I just want you to be in agreement with me. I said, praise God, I'm going to be in agreement. Amen. And he was excited. And I already knew that where he was going, whoever was going to be there was going to receive Christ Jesus. They're going to receive the message. I said, John, whatever you do, I said, you know, they've asked you to come in. When somebody asks you to come, you have the authority. You guys, this is a good lesson right here. When somebody asks you to come and pray, the authority's been given to you. So you go in like you own the place. You go in like, hey, I'm taking ground for Jesus today. You've asked me to come and pray. So I'm believing that God's going to do the very thing that you've asked. You know, that's sometimes why people don't get asked to go to certain people's house. Yeah, you know, I remember when Minister Leah and I got asked to go cast a demon out of a house. We're coming. And you know, it wasn't, you know, you're getting rid of demons. It's not like you're walking in. Oh, bless this room. It's, you know, no, you're saying in Jesus' mighty name, I cast every foul, evil, devil spirit out of this home and off of every person in Jesus' name. Your house is clean. God's given you the authority. So we go like that. So when people, you don't have to be, you know, God will give you wisdom and He'll show you how to pray for people. You know, it's like Brother David. I don't know why I hit you today. I mean, I didn't like hit you, but I just felt to make contact with you. I know you don't mind. But then I walked over here and was very kind. I just felt, I hit him, that's what I felt. I didn't actually hit him if you're watching online. I just kind of, well, you know, power, I don't know what it was. Praise God, it was good though, praise Jesus. But you have an authority. You as a believer have authority. Use your authority. Walk in your authority. Quit giving your authority away. You know? Because when you begin to give your authority away, you know what you're doing? You're allowing darkness to come in. You're allowing darkness to come in. Ah, it's just not for me. You know, it's not. It's for every believer. The power of God is for every believer. It's for every believer. It's not just for us as pastors to stand here. And, you know, John's going and praying. John's going and leading people to the Lord. Am I upset as a pastor? No, I rejoice. Amen. I rejoice that there are people in this house that we have a go team. And listen, we've got to build the go team up. There's got to be something that clicks in us where we say, you know what, we've got to take this thing to another level. I'll bake the pepperoni rolls. I can't go. You know, I'll put gas in the van. I can't go. But there's got to be that kind of a tenacity in this house and in this church and in this hour to see people come to Christ. To see the power of God come into a room, in a hotel room 2 weeks ago. Powerful. And people in our group, they started getting words of knowledge. The gifts of the Spirit started to flow. Well, aren't the gifts just used for special people? Special people that love God. God will use people. The Corinth church was a train wreck of a church. They were in sin, but the spiritual gifts still flowed through them. Paul was there to correct them. He was there, you know, but you know, that's not the case with our group, but God wants to do this. He wants to manifest himself through people. Now listen, you need to be holy. You need to get sin out of your life. You need to walk in light and get darkness out of your life. You have sin in your life. You need to get sin out of your life, and you need to get things right with God. Don't play with sin. Don't keep yourself in a place where, well, you know, I'm trying. No, say, no, I'm doing. I'm not just trying. I'm not just walking backwards, but I'm walking forward. You know, I told Pastor Miranda was, you know, talking about it last week on Sunday. I'm telling you, I felt the anointing on that. As people came up front and got prayed for. What's the little step that you can take today? See, if you don't take the little step, you know, if you don't do the little thing, it's little by little. Little by little, the Israelites took ground. Little by little, they took ground. Little by little. It's little by little that if you begin to walk things out little by little, God will come alongside. Man, and then you'll see a big something happen. And then it's little by little. Then it's little by little. And then it's little. But then, boom, a big thing happens. Anybody experienced that? I have. But you never leave God. It's not like, people, I'm taking a vacation, well, you know, from church, from God. I just need some time off. You know, a lot of times people just, they say that because they want an excuse for sin. They want an excuse to do whatever they want to do. You know, you don't take vacations from God. He sees everything. You with me this morning? He sees it all. So it's not like you get a break. But can I tell you that he's here to help you. At every step and every juncture, he's here to help you. I'm getting a little off of this, but you know, in verse 9, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. You know what happens, you know, if we have to, these are things we have to guard against. We have to guard against being cynical. We have to guard against having a hard heart. You know, as I said first service, you know, my kids have grown up in ministry. They I didn't grow up in this, but my kids at an early age grew up in ministry. And you know, my prayer for my children is that they never get a hard heart with the things of God. That when an altar call happens, they know that there's a God. It's God that's moving. It's not like a, you know, because what happens, we get jaded. You can get jaded in life and think, well, every day it's another church service. Just going to church on a Wednesday night because that's what we do. But we've not created the expectancy. We get jaded. We get comfortable with God. We get comfortable with the Holy Spirit. My prayer for my kids has always been, you know, listen, if you're dealing with something, you need to talk. We're here for you. But the Holy Spirit can help you at an altar. The Holy Spirit can get into your life and help you. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. And it's very much active and live. And nor did the miracles, signs, and wonders die out with the last apostle. Praise God. We need the Holy Ghost. You need to learn to respond to the Holy Ghost. If he's saying, get this out of your life, fix this, then do it. Guys, we think this is complicated. I think when people get saved, honestly, when you get saved, you know if you're in the right or you're in the wrong. I'm in the right house, right? I believe we know the difference between right. Well, there's some things I had to learn. I had to learn about giving. She told me I needed to tithe. I wanted to buy a bow and a gun. So I'm weighing things out. It's deer season. How can I get what I want? And how can I do this thing for God that I really know nothing about? Other than the fact my wife told me I needed to tithe. I'm like, tithe is a tenth. I knew that much in math. So it was one of those things. It's like, okay, we'll tithe. But I'm still in my own mind trying to figure out how I can get what I want. But as I begin to tithe and as I begin to give, I watch God supernaturally. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, we started tithing. I mean, I don't know if this is anybody's situation or case. When I started tithing, I remember we sitting down and did the yellow notepad budget. We wrote everything down. We wrote down everything we had coming in. And we were upside down. We had more money going out than we had coming in. I needed a miracle. I mean, it was just all there was to it. Somebody's not going to get paid anyway. I might as well give God 10%. And that's exactly what we did. But I'm telling you, within a month to 2 months, everything happened. Everything shifted. Everything happened. Because I know something about this word. I know something about the truth of the word. It works. And it will work in your life. It will work on your life. There's so many things. Listen, the enemy is going to be resilient. You have to put your guard up. You have to put your guard up. I remember, you have to put your guard up. Oh, my. You don't want to become hardened to the things of God. Just another service. So-and-so fell down again today. So-and-so spoke in tongues. I heard him speak in tongues. You don't want to get jaded. You don't want to get jaded to that stuff. Because if you do, it will cause... It will cause a hardness in you with your brothers and with your sisters. Man, you want to have a pure heart. You want to have a clean heart. Amen? You want to walk there. Praise God. In verse 10, it says, he who knows his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So John's saying, look, we need to abide in the light. You know, it's interesting that, I believe this about faith and I believe this about Christianity. It only takes a little bit of light to bring illumination into a room. I mean, it only takes a little bit of light to go left rather than right. And then to go be an active participant in what God wants you to do. It only takes a little bit of light for God to completely come into a room, to come into a family, to come into a situation. Can I tell you something today? Catch that. You're that light. You're that light. Well, I'm not this. I'm not that. No, you're the light. You're the light that people need to see. Listen, if you're not the light that people need to see, then get your act together. That's Christianity. Let's get things right so that people can imitate me. Amen. That people would be able to say, that's a Christian. That's what a Christian looks like. They love God. They love people. Amen. And I love this because he who loves his brother, he abides in the light. How important is it that we love one another? How important is it that we go to bat for one another? How important it is that we kick offenses out? People will carry. I'm telling you, that word offense comes from, I think it was bait of Satan. John Bevere teaches on it. He talks about the word scandalon. or the bait or the trap. And see, what happens is that the enemy will bait and set traps for Christians. You know, the enemy will. I'm not, some of you are like, well, my family did that. I'm not talking about your family today. I'm talking about the enemy. He'll do that. The enemy will set baits. He'll set traps just for you to come along. Well, that looks good. That looks enticing. That thing is very much of the world, though. And a lot of times we kind of know it, but we kind of want to, well, let's go over here and just flirt with it for just a second. Snap, trap, cross, back of the neck, you know, just like a mousetrap. We got caught. And you know what happens is when we get caught in the, when we get caught in a trap, you know, man, if somebody's not there to let us out and free us, can I tell you, that's why we need brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why you need to be in a church. People say, oh, I don't need church. No, you need to be in church. You need to be on church if you're watching online. You need to have a church family. You need to be around people of God that are going to pray with you, that are going to be there for you, that are going to lift you up, that are going to help you. Amen. I mean, there's no way I would have never been in the house of God if I didn't have friends and I didn't have people and family that was, you know, checking, hey, you know, miss you in church. People get mad at that, you know. I'm a pastor. I should say that to people, right? That's okay. People wouldn't even get offended at the pastor. Well, you know, I haven't been there in 6 months. What's wrong? Why are you calling me? I'm just concerned. Are you all right? Because somewhere along the line, I figured that there's been a trap. There's been something that's happened. You know, a financial crisis, an emergency in the family. A financial, whatever, you know, marriage on the rocks. You know, something's happened. Where are you at? Why? Because we care. Because listen, the Bible teaches me right here. Love your brother. You know what loving your brother is going to do? It's going to check on you. It's going to call. And I tell you what, a brother, and it's okay to be confronted by a brother or sister in Christ out of concern. How's your Christian walk? How are you doing with things? Are you offended? You hurt? You mad? Are you living for Jesus? That's real accountability, isn't it? It's none of your business. That's true love. True love is that. True love is having enough concern to say, I'm concerned about where you're at right now. It's none of your business. Then Jesus is none of your business. That's what you're saying. Because he's commissioned you and he's told you to go love like him. Real truth, real love. Goodness, I mean, what part of this don't we understand that sometimes that's going to hurt? Because it's pointing at something. It's showing us something that we have to deal with. Me included. Pastor Brian walked outside there and we were out there standing. I was like, man, I said, I'm on fire. I said, all my clothes are wet. I'm wringing wet. And I don't even know what he said. And he said something, but it was a good word for service. And I'm like, man, it was a good word for me. Guys, listen, this stuff is so important to see the advancement of the kingdom of God. That we love like Jesus. That we love our sisters. We love our brothers. If there's an offense in your heart with anybody, get things right. Get things right today. Don't wait. You know what will happen? Because a lot of times you can get a word like this into your spirit. You can get a word of faith. But, you know, tomorrow's going to happen and something, an obstacle. The enemy's going to throw something out there. And the mountain's going to be so big again, I can't do it. It's like what I said last week. You got to pick up the phone a friend. There's 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. prayer call. People will post on there, need prayer. It's not to put your recipes on. It's for prayer. You know, it's not, you know, that's what it's for. I need prayer over this or this. And you know what happens? We got a church of people that pray, right? We got people in this house that pray. They pray. They believe that God's going to move in a situation. Amen. Because you know what the enemy, he wants you to avoid that kind of stuff. He wants you to say, nah, don't do that. You can figure this out on your own. Has anybody ever heard that before? I have. I didn't get very far. Me trying to figure out my mess didn't get me very far. I needed God. I needed his help. I needed a friend. Amen. I needed to call a pastor. You know, I had a pastor every once in a while. He just, I don't know. He was prophetic, but I every once in a while he'd just stop by the house, get in the car, we're going for a ride. I'm shaking in the car, What did you know that I did? I'm like nervous, And a lot of times it wasn't about that. It was for him to show the love of Christ to me. So I quit sweating that every time he'd call. Hey, I'm going to come pick you up. I want to share something. It wasn't that I want to share. I'm just coming to pick you up. I don't know what all that means, but. But it was for him to come and to demonstrate God's love, God's grace, and his forgiveness. And it was vision. A lot of times it was vision. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? We talk and stuff. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. And it's interesting because even in, Peter, when Peter had looked at, he was talking with Jesus. Jesus was talking about the death in which he would die. He would be brutally beaten, and Peter wants to correct Jesus. Peter at that point, he was a great disciple. But Peter had become a stumbling block to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, Peter, what did he do? What did he do with Peter? What did he say? Get behind me, Satan. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Don't you guys say? That's pretty, Peter was one of his great disciples. But he says, get behind me, Satan. See, that's the thing. We've got to be of the right mind. And John's given us this. He's showing us in the scriptures. We got to be of the right mind to walk in forgiveness, to walk in healing, to love one another as Christ loves the church. We've got to be in that right mind. And Peter was not in the right mind because he didn't understand Christ's love for humanity. Certainly, I'll just take them out for you, Jesus. He didn't understand his purpose on earth. He just, bold, courageous, he just wanted to step up and I love the story of Peter because the boldness did come on Peter later on. But see, Jesus, the grace of God, he never turned his back on Peter. He's not going to turn his back on you. He's not going to turn his back on you, and he's not going to turn... Listen, I believe there are people in here, you're standing in agreement and in a gap for your family, and as a result of you being the one to take a stand, he's going to honor that. And you believe that and you confess. No, God, you're going to honor that I'm in the house of God. I'm giving. I'm doing this. I'm in prayer. Father, you're going to honor. You're going to honor my commitment. We've seen it happen in Hawaii. People that would begin to serve God. It took a few years. It might take 15 or 20 years. It took a while for my family. You're a preacher? Wow. I'd get that every once in a while. But sometimes it takes a few years. If you honestly, you committing yourself and honoring God, you keep in it. Don't compromise. Don't ever shrink back. Don't compromise. Don't ever begin to ever think about slipping back and looking like the old you. You fight against it. You push against that. Because what it'll do is it'll allow comfortableness to creep in. And then you'll just get comfortable with sin. You'll get comfortable with, well, that's the way things used to be. I'm better. I'm saved. I'm going to make heaven. You just get comfortable with it. Don't allow. You've got to kick that stuff out. You've got to fight against that stuff. Because what it'll do is it will breed hatred. It's like poison. A little drop. It might not kill you day one, but it over time, it's going to do something. You've got to kick that stuff out. You've got to fight and push against it. You don't allow the enemy. You don't allow darkness. I don't know if anybody needs to hear this today. Where you quit cussing and you're allowing the enemy to come in and just, it's okay to say this because this is, it's part of, it's okay to use this word now. No. Go back to your first love. Go back and look at what Christ did with you at the very beginning. He removed the cusser. Don't go back and entertain something. Don't go back and play with it. Because you're allowing a window. You're allowing a crack. You're allowing the enemy just to come in a little bit. We've got to contend. This is the kind of contention that God's looking at a church to do right now. You're going higher. It's going to cost you something. You can't stay the same. Some of you have come up, right? I'm looking at a church that's came up. I mean, I know many of the testimonies, many of the stories, many of the things God's done, and I've seen him do it in people's lives. You've came up. But to come up to another level, there's another level of consecration. There's another level of I yield to you, Lord. Lord, help me love like you. Help me love. You know, I'm not calling down fire today. Lord, I'm doing better. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm not calling fire down from heaven. But Lord, I'm doing better today because I'm praying for my brother. I called them to see if they wanted an apple pie. I don't know, you know, if they wanted something from Arby's. Praise God, 2 for $6. Praise Jesus. Yeah. Amen. I amen myself on that. Ah, praise God. You know, the world has, the perspective of the world is to pull you into hatred, to pull you into deceit, to pull you away from God. It is for you to sit and say, I feel, I this, I that. That's the complex of the world. And see, we the church, I'm telling you, this is the fight for the church. This is the fight in the church, that we can't look at our own individual needs and our own individual things or stuff that are going on, but that we look at people, that we become vessels for God to go love people, to do more for people. You know, Pastor Brent and I were talking this past week, you know, to have 3 teams in facilities. You know, I talked to a girl the other night. She worked at one of the facilities, and she was like, she didn't know our church was there because she works a late night shift. And she's like, that's really a good idea. That you guys go into the facilities and you minister to people. Praise God. You're right. It is a good idea. Man, we need 12 facilities. 20 facilities. You know, I mean, could you imagine being in 100 facilities across the West Virginia? And you know, the thing about it is, a lot of them would let us in. You know, they would let us in because, you know, after COVID, you know, families quit going to facilities to see their loved ones. People with dementia, you know, God can heal dementia. Amen. In Jesus' name. That's right. You know, people with dementia, get them under the power of God, get them saved, boom. He could, you know. I mean, we had a 97-year-old lady laying hands on a 14-year-old boy in one of her facilities last week. Don't tell me the power of God's not real. Asking the very question, what's my purpose? She hit her purpose today. An anointed woman of God, 97 years old, letting the fire of God go out, right out of her room. Guys, this is not a game. This is not, you know, doctor always says that, and I get it now. It's not a game. It's not, well, you know, man, if we could just say, God, how much time can I give you today, Lord? How much time can I commit to you? Yeah, there's personal study, there's personal devotion, but let me challenge you a little bit. Let me challenge you a little bit today. What about in the going? What about in the doing? What about in the asking? Well, I'm not a soul winner. You got a phone? You got a friend? Because I don't know, I have any friends. Go to the gym. Make friends. Make friends. Do it. Do everything you can do to, guys, at the end of all this, what matters in heaven is souls. That's the currency of heaven. There's no hearse behind the U-Haul. You're not taking any of your stuff with you. Nothing. Nothing goes. Nothing. So what do we take to heaven? We take souls. We take what we, you know, listen, there are crowns that are awaiting God's people in heaven. I want to see kings. I want to see kings. I want to see king's people when I go, oh my, that's a beautiful crown. Look at that. You got 5 crowns. I didn't even know that crown was even going to be, you know, whatever it might be. That's it in the kingdom of heaven. We're working for God here, amen. We're a church working for God. Praise Jesus, huh? Let me close this out. Let me close this out and finish out with 1 John 2:11. Let me close out with this. It says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You know, listen, you'll get blinded by the things of the world. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, just for a season. You can get blinded. You can get blinded. I mean, you can get blinded in ministry. Chase the wrong thing. Chase money, chase fame, chase what? You can get blinded in business. You can get blinded at a county festival. You can get blinded driving down the road. Somebody cuts you off. You get very blinded, right? Gestures, hand motions, language. You can get blinded by many things in life. But, you know, Jesus said, but he who hates his brother, listen, is in darkness. Listen, we're called to love people. You're called to love people. If you've never heard this before, if you've never, I love God, but I'm not sure about people. Get this right. God's called you also to love people. Even some of the people that may have hurt you, maybe you felt persecuted by them. And honestly, you need to evaluate real hurt. I think what people, you know, we, let's go here. Because, you know, listen, in our culture, we can get so sensitive over our feelings and over our emotions. We real hurt, even real persecution. When people talk about persecution on social media, I can't believe people are getting on my page and blasting me. That's not persecution. Standing in line, getting ready to get your head cut off, that's real persecution. That's not equal. That's not equal. But, you know, what hurts me maybe not hurt you. Evaluate it. Because if you evaluate the hurt and you'll say, can I forgive this? Can I? Yeah, you ultimately can. And you have a lot of control. You have a lot of authority that Jesus Christ himself has given you. And you know what I love about it? It's been put on a cross and given to you as children of God to walk in freedom, to walk in deliverance, to not be bound, to not be caught in the traps of the enemy. God's asking you to do that. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. Listen, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk there. Listen, you know, guys, listen. There's nobody in this church that, you know, including my wife and I, that, you know, couldn't sit and say that, you know, I haven't been hurt. Something happened where you feel like calling down fire. Yeah, but it's like, You choose. You kick the enemy out of your head. You choose. You choose to walk with him. You choose to walk in light. And let me add this, because listen. You choose to walk with people that will help get you into light. You guys with me today? You walk with people that will help you. I mean, Brother Josh, I've been praying for you. I mean, you come in today. I mean, I know the first thing I did was come up and grabbed your back and hugged you. And I knew that was the one thing you were down in the back. I was like, in the natural stuff, I was like, oh, that was real good. Brad, you know, you go over and you just grab him by the back. And he's been down in the back. And I'm, you know, I was just happy to see you, you know. Happy, you know, there's that word happy. I'm joyful to see you. Praise God. You know, today's, it's almost been, almost, I think, two different messages, but close to the same. But, you know, the world has the wrong perspective on love. And I want to close with that today. Minister, if you would, come to the keyboard. The world has the wrong perspective of love. Many years ago, I remember when the show The Bachelor came out, and I remember watching it the first time, and I was like, these girls are going to, there's like 30 of them, and this guy's going to go through 8-10 episodes, and he's going to start pecking girls off, and he's going to make a decision on one girl that he wants to marry. And supposedly, this is what we have begun to call love. You know, that And I'm not. We get our heads wrapped up in worldly things and thinking this is what love is. Love is, you know, love from the world standpoint is do whatever makes you feel good, do whatever makes you happy. Right? I mean, that's, you know, you want to go out, cut loose, have fun, you know, just do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever makes you feel good. Man, you got to guard against that thought, and you got to guard against that thinking. You know, I know BC, I wasn't that guy that could just go hang out casually. If I was going to party, I was going to party. It was on. That's just how it was. I don't know if anybody was like that, but you know, that was my story. But when God delivered me and he set me free, man, that's where I begin to understand what true love was. That I had a Savior. I had a guy by the name of Jesus that had set me free. Was I completely free? No, I was taking steps. But you know what I did? I stayed in the game. See, that's the key to Christianity. That's the other thing with faith. You got to stay in the game. People, just because you hear one message doesn't mean that you're super Christian. Just because you listen to, you know, four YouTube stations a day doesn't make you, listen, faith comes by hearing. You get faith built up, but what do you do with faith once it gets put in you? You become a doer of the word. You go do what that faith tells you to do. Amen. You go and you love your brother. You love your sister. It matters that they make it to heaven. Amen. Listen, I believe, just go ahead and stand to your feet. I believe, just raise your hands in the house this morning. This afternoon. Father, right now, I pray that, Lord, even today, as there are people in this house, Father, that you're speaking to. Lord, to even leave from this place today, you're speaking to. Lord, whether it's through forgiving, or, Father, it's just a phone call to check on them. To pray with them. Father, I pray that, Lord, there would be a great release in this house today. Father, we call those that are heirs of salvation. We call those that, Father, that we know are coming to the kingdom of God to be saved. Father, even through these hands that are lifted today, Father, that would happen in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for divine appointments. Divine appointments in Jesus' name. Divine, you know, these are assignments from God. But they would be divine appointments. And Lord, it would be now. This is the hour in which, Lord, we begin to rise up. We begin to move forward. We begin to take ground for you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you today for that in Jesus' name. Just every head bowed still. Listen, if you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your life. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. I want to pray with you. But you know, I want to back that up today because listen, God wants you to live for Him. He wants you to live for Him. And you know, there's been, you know, listen, you know, maybe you're new to this thing, and there's an obstacle here, there's an obstacle there. God wants to remove the obstacles. He wants to remove the obstacles in Jesus' name. He wants to lift the hindrances today. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come in and show you his love, show you how much he cares. That's what he wants to do today. And I want to, you know, the third thing that I want to pray for today. Listen, if you need healed in your heart, you've got a root of bitterness, anger, strife. Man, give it to God today. Give it to God today. Cut that thing off today. Say, you know, Lord, I'm giving this to you today. I'm going to walk in freedom. I make that declaration today. I'm going to walk in freedom. We're going to pray over that today. So those three things. Listen, if you need to be saved, you've never received Jesus, I want to pray. Maybe you've fallen away from the things of God. Maybe there's some darkness that listen, that slipped in or entertained, and you need to kick that out. I want to pray over that today. And lastly, if you have anything that's any area of offense, bitterness, any root or of hurt, God wants to heal that today. I want to pray with you. So minister, if you would, let's just go into song. Just listen. Examine your heart today. The Lord's touching you on any of those three areas. I want you to come. We're going to pray.